seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the Paul's Epistle of Philippians, chapter 4, and the 19th verse. Paul's Epistle of the Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Paul's Epistle of the Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful mercy it is, beloved friends, if we are truly taught by the Lord our great need. And truly, really, our need is great. And the more we feel that need, the more we shall need the Lord to supply that need. Now, I don't wish to go over what we looked at this morning, but I want to look at a few as helped of the needs of God's dear children. And we would begin by the great need of his grace. It's a wonderful thing, the grace of God is. And do we not need it continually? How many times do you get up in the morning, you may be faced with many things, and you have to say, Lord, give me that grace to deal with them. And that grace to know the Lord's mind and the Lord's will in them. And that grace to do what is right in his sight, not in our own, or in the sight of man. And then we need grace, don't we, to endure the afflictions and the trials of the journey that we have to wade through. It's a beautiful word, isn't there? But he giveth more grace. And oh, how the older we get, we need it. Do you feel the need of grace this afternoon to be given? And that grace is God's free, unmerited favour to sinners. There's nothing you can do to merit this grace. It's the gift of God. But oh, to feel the need of it. You know, as we looked at this morning regarding the Apostle Paul, who penned this beautiful word to the Philippian church here, how he was taught by the Lord that there was only one that could give him grace. And the grace that he so needed to forsake sin, to do the will of God, to seek the Lord, to serve him, to obey his voice, to lean hard upon him. And of course he learned a lot of this by experience, walking through the things the Lord had appointed for him. And you see, it all flows, as our text says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And of course, you've only got to look, as grace is given to a precious Christ, to see the grace that shone in him. And you think of the apostle when he was given that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Oh, the grace that he needed, didn't he, to bear it? And it may be a cross that's laid upon you, or a great weight, or a thorn in the flesh, or something that you're walking through and you say, Lord, but do give me grace to bear it. And look how the Lord wonderfully spoke, didn't he, to the dear Apostle Paul in it all. He wanted it, took away that thorn. You know, many things we may have to walk through and we have to say, Lord, but do take this away. The flesh doesn't like it, you see. We prove what the hymn writer said, the flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. And three times he asked the Lord to take that thorn away. It may be some particular thorn that you have, and there are many thorns that the child of God will have to endure. In like a thorn naturally, when that's inserted in our flesh, it's painful, isn't it? Continual discomfort till it's removed. And so you can well understand the apostle, this messenger of Satan, continually there to buffet him. Lord, do take it away. Take him away. But you know the Lord didn't, did he? But he gave him that beautiful promise, didn't he? He supplied the apostle's need, not according to what the flesh wanted, but what was the will and of God, and what the Lord had ordained for him. It was necessary, this thorn. You know, we sometimes sing, don't we, whatever cross lies at thy door, it cometh from the Lord. Sometimes you can't see how it came from the Lord, can you? But when grace is given, you can view it in a completely different light. And think of what the Lord spoke to the apostle. I love that beautiful word. And may the Holy Spirit whisper it to some poor, needy soul this afternoon. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He could truly then glory in his infirmities, couldn't he? Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon him. But my God shall supply. And you look how the Lord supplied him with that grace to bear that thorn. Without the grace of God, he could never have borne it. Nor could you, and nor can I. You see, grace humbles the sinner, and it makes them submissive to the mind and will of God. It's a wonderful grace, that is, the grace of submission, isn't it? And you know, do you feel the need of it? The apostle did with that thorn in the flesh. He needed grace to submit to it. What do we read? I think it was James said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I remember going to Swavesey to preach some years ago now. And the Lord gave me that text one week evening. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And I remember the late Mr. John Curley was there from Penn Stanton, and you know, the dear man, if ever a man, the grace of God shone in him, it did in him. And he said, you know, you came right where I was. Oh, how I need grace to be submissive to what the Lord's laid on me. Both in affliction in trials, in temptations, in losses, in crosses. Submit yourself. Be resigned, you see, to the Lord's mind and his will in it. And we need grace to do it, don't we? And then the poor sinner has to look heavenward for it, because it must flow from the Lord. And where, as our text says, it will flow from his riches in glory. It's a rich grace the Lord gives to his dear people. Oh, it is. And they're made rich spiritually by it. The flesh profiteth nothing. You know, the man with a natural religion, his flesh wants to profit in this and profit in that and something else. But you see, the real child of God will be blessed with the riches of heaven, the riches of his grace. And where will that bring the sinner? If I know anything about it at all, it'll make them very humble. Submissive to the Lord's mind and his will. So do you need this afternoon as we venture with this, Lord, do give me. My need of grace is so much. Do give me grace. And he's promised to give it, poor soul. Oh, he has. We sung, I hope to sing later, we sung this morning of dear Elijah, you see, how the Lord supplied his need. And we looked at it just before we closed, didn't we? And as in nature, he supplies the need of his dear people, so he will in grace. We hinted at too this morning the great need of strength. The apostle, you see, he not only needed grace to bear that thorn, he needed strength to bear it, didn't he? And do we not have to pray for strength to bear the thorns, bear the crosses, bear the afflictions, bear the trials? And that word the Lord spoke to the apostle had everything in it. What I feel about the sweet promises of God is this. You know, they're so comprehensive. They cover everything that the child of God will come into. And you think of that word, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's nothing lacking in the sufficiency that God gives his people. It's sufficient for thee. And it's personal, you see. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, the Lord will make his people weak, sometimes in body. They feel weak often in faith, don't they? And in grace and in love. And in hope, it often seems weak. But he will give strength. And we looked at it this morning in two ways, in a natural way, but I just want to pursue this a little further. And we looked at it spiritually, how the psalmist said, thou strengthenest me with strength in my soul. We think of those beautiful promises, you know, the Lord gives to strengthen his dear people. We named it in Daniel, which I personally experienced this morning, that beautiful word, how the Lord strengthened him. But we think too of that precious word that the Lord left on record of sweet promise. And may we be given grace to plead it. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's a beautiful word, really, isn't it? The Lord will give you strength for each day, each hour, each moment. He didn't say you'd have strength today for tomorrow or next week, but as thy days. You see, every day brings something new, Zion's trouble to renew. So there's the need in the heart of the child of God, in their bodies, in their minds, in all that concerns them, the need of strength for it. It'll be the fulfillment of that sweet word, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you know, in seeking to follow the Lord in his sweet commandments and ways, we've witnessed it in so many occasions. Those weak souls, in weak in body and weak through old age, that have been constrained to follow the Lord, have proved he's given them such strength to venture to follow him, and such strength to venture through even the waters. I shall never forget when I baptised old Mrs. Brooks of Braeburn, who was 83. You know, many were concerned about her strength, but you know, the Lord wonderfully strengthened her to go through it. And the same with my late dear grandfather, who was 82. I shall never forget how he came up out of that water singing the doxology with all his power. The strength there was in him, and yet he had difficulty in walking. Yet the strength as he came up out of that, singing the doctrine, not just walking up out of the steps, but strength to sing it at the time. And may that be of help and encouragement to you today. You see, weaklings have the victory won. But my God shall supply all your need of strength. And then think about it spiritually, in our souls. You see, that word the Lord spoke to the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness, was a strengthening word, wasn't it? Oh, it was. And do you not need an eye this afternoon, a strengthening word to go on with? I felt when this text dropped in, you know, what a strengthening word it was. Feeling so much my need and my poverty and my emptiness. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He shall supply. And this is something you can plead before him, and something you can face the devil with, because you can take it back to the devil and say, ah, but the Lord has said this, and he cannot stand against the word of God. We think, and then I must pass on, but we think of that sacred word. We looked at it the other week, of a prophecy of Isaiah, and that 41st chapter and verse 10, you see. And in it we find that beautiful clause where the Lord said, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And what a strengthening word that is. Many, you know, though I know there are some here that the Lord has spoke that word to them. And what a strength it is. And it's carried them when everything else has failed. But my God. The apostle could say this from experience, you see. He walked it out. And this is what he desired, as I said at the commencement this morning, for these dear souls in the church at Philippi. But my God shall supply. he shall supply all your need. Not some of it. Think of it, the future, the unknown way. You may be in your providential path where you look out and say, well, it looks impossible, but he shall supply. There were those of you, of course, at the Golden Wedding that we spoke about, how he'd supplied our need in Providence all those 50 years. And you know, it's so humbling to look back on it. You think, as we sung and we spoke of this morning, Elijah, but I don't want to go back to that, but you look at the children of Israel. How every day he supplied their need through that wilderness journey. There was the manna sent from heaven. They were dependent upon the Lord every day. And you know, this is where we should be, really, if we are well exercised, dependent upon him every day to supply our every need, whether it be in providence or in grace. And you look how dependent they were. The Lord didn't fail them, did he? The rich supply came down. And then the day prior to the Sabbath, the equivalent, what they needed for the Sabbath day as well. You know, the Lord, with you, dear young people, you may look at the future, you might have a home and the unknown way, and you may say, oh, but how will we manage? You go to him who can manage all things. You look at the characters that came to the dear Redeemer in all their need, in their afflictions, in their blindness, in the sorrows of their heart, the issues of blood, and oh, the palsy and so on, and he supplied just what they needed, didn't he? And they drew from the fullness there was in him. Well, the next point I want to briefly name is this. The need of divine help. And do we not need it continually? How many times, you look back in this past week, have you had to pray, Lord, help me? I love that prayer, you know. It so came out of the heart of that dear woman. She couldn't go on without it, could she? And there may be those of you today, and you look back through the week and you've had to say, Lord, help me. And it hadn't been just once, it's been maybe every day, and not only every day, but through the day. The prayer at the commencement, the prayer when you close to go your eyes to go to sleep. And it's been all through the day. Lord, help me. And your eyes are heavenward for that help, aren't they? And we need it continually, don't we? You need him to help you to pray for help. You need him to help you to commit your way to him. You need him to help you to leave it all in his hands. I often think of Potiphar, you know. When Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, what do we read? That Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hands. Now Joseph, of course, in many ways was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And oh, leaving it in Joseph's hands, he was leaving it in good hands, you see. And we need help to leave all in the hands of the heavenly Joseph, don't we? So easy for us to hold on to the tail of something that we say we're leaving with him, and we, I think it was the late Mr. Windridge said once when he was preaching, he said, people say, oh, but we've left it in the Lord's hand. But he said, have they? He said, so often they hold on to the tail of it. They cannot leave it completely. But you know, we need grace and we need help to leave it all. Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And you see, it was in secure hands. Hands that wouldn't fail. Oh no. And think about it spiritually in your heart and pathway concerning the Lord Jesus. Leave it in his hands. What does the hymn writer say? He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. And when the Lord undertakes to manage everything, he'll do everything perfectly. Not how you think or I think it should be done. How it is according to his mind and his will. And we need that grace, go back to what I said earlier, to be submissive to him. You know, the Lord never makes a mistake. And what is so wonderful about his help to his dear people is this. He undertakes to do everything for them. You know, it's right for you and it's right for me to help this one and that one in the journey. It's like the hymn writer said, help each other in the road. And it's right we should. But you know, we're so often limited, aren't we, to what we can do to help them. It may be they're in great debt and we haven't the means to help them. We would if we could. It may be they're in some affliction and we do all we can to help them, but the only person that can help them really is the Lord. And this is why the Lord is so different than us. When he undertakes to help his dear people, he'll do everything for them, not some of it. There's no limit to his power. So when the apostle said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, the apostle could look back through his pathway, the times he'd been in prison, the times he'd been shipwrecked, the times he'd been persecuted, and you could list a whole manner of things. But you know how the Lord had helped him in it all by undertaking to do everything for him. Oh yes. You think of Hezekiah's prayer. It's a good prayer that is, you know. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. That's what he was in. He didn't say he may have been oppressed or he had been oppressed in days past. He said, I am oppressed. But then he says this. Undertake for me. And it was only the Lord that could do it, wasn't it? And what a help that was to the dear man, how the Lord undertook for his soul and deliver him from all his sin, undertook for him appearing in his household, undertook for him regarding being a successor to the throne, undertook for him to deliver him from the king of Assyria and all those that would have put him down. And undertook for him to deliver him from the powers of death, because he was at the gates of the grave. Set thine house in order, for thou should die and not live. And the Lord undertook, didn't he? And look how he defended dear Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem. Oh, his help. You know, it's a wonderful thing to feel our helper still is God. Oh, it is. Where would you be without his help? You don't know, I just have to pray, Lord, help me. You're dependent upon him for that help. And as he gives you that help, you can venture on in the journey. What did the apostle say himself? Brought before King Agrippa, those nobles, he unfolds to them how the Lord had worked in him and takes them back to the Damascus Road. And what does he say? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. You know, for us to continue, we shall only be able to continue but by the help of God. We cannot continue ourselves. By the help of God. And that's a very precious word, isn't it? As he declares it to Agrippa, where that help came from and where he obtained it from. Do you know what it is to obtain that help? It's a wonderful word that obtained, isn't it? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. You see, he needed help. What do we sing in the hymn? When most we need his help in hand, this friend is always near with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. But then, not only do we need help to pray and help to continue, we need help to hear what the Lord will speak. Wonderful thing when the Lord helps us to hear, you know. Not only do the Lord's servants, as they venture to preach and continually need the Lord's help, like the apostle needed it, but those that heard the word needed help to hear. I often think back, you know, I think it was the first time I ever preached at Stone Chapel, back in 1968, I think it was. And the dear old deacon, he came in the vestry and he said, I have a word of prayer. And he did, and he said, Lord, help thy servant to preach. Help me to hear and help all those that come to hear. And you know, I've never forgot how he said it. It was so real. I thought, how vital that is, you see. And we need that help, don't we, to hear what the Lord will speak. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How open are our ears to hear what the Lord will speak? You know, it's so often when we're brought into very deep places, whether it be an affliction or a temptation or trial or buffeted by Satan, we say, Lord, do speak. But may we have that ear to hear what he speaks. What does the hymn writer say? Listen to what the Saviour saith and seek for grace to follow that. But my God shall supply all your need. And what a mercy it is. Let's just tarry upon the dear Redeemer. Everything that you need will be found in a precious Christ. If you need pardon, poor soul, of all your sin, it's found in him. If you need that precious blood to be applied to you, it's found in him. It's the poor, vile sinner that needs that precious blood. And they feel the need of it hourly, continually. Lord, do wash me. I love the prayer of dear David when he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And you see, that precious blood will cleanse the poor, black, vile sinner from all sin. Oh, it will. There's a blessed power in that precious blood. All there is. It cleanseth from all sin. And mark how black the sinner feels. The hymn writer said, didn't he, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need. Do you feel it? Do I? Is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. And then in him too there's this wonderful supply of his glorious righteousness. Oh, that precious robe that Christ has wrought out. Do you feel the need of the covering of it? In your poor soul. Oh, how vital it is to be sheltering under that precious blood and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We sing, don't we, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Oh, the supply that the needy sinner has is found in the dear Redeemer. And then the need of patience. Not in our nature. We know some are more patient than others naturally, but we need heavenly patience. Many sermons really could be preached on that, because we need patience in so many ways, don't we? We need to patiently wait for the Lord to answer our prayers. The need of patience, he can supply. And then the need of patience to wait for the Lord to fulfill his sweet promises. Those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And it may be you need patience to bear your afflictions. Patience to wait for the Lord's appearing. Supply all your need. And he can give you that patience, you know. Something I have to pray for continually. I say to my shame, though, many times I haven't got much patience. And I say that to my shame. But oh, to have that patience given. The hymn writer said, didn't he? A time he has set. Beautiful words to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill. Be patient and steady and wait on him still. Comes to me as I name it. You think of dear Hannah, how she needed patience to wait for her Samuel. And she didn't wait in vain, did she? She needed patience to wait, you see, and it may be in something you're in today, it may be in providence, it may be in grace. You patiently wait. And then it may be for the Lord to confirm something in you, your exercise, or confirm his word, or confirm his promises. The need of patience to wait his time. You see, he will give patience. Oh, he will. And what does the apostle say? He's there again from experience. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed because of the love of Christ which is shed abroad in you. He didn't say you'd have patience to start with, but tribulation would work it. Oh, may we lay this to heart, you see. But my God shall supply. There are many other things I could name this afternoon, but shall supply all your need. And the Lord knows. Be interesting, wouldn't it, to go round each of us and see what our real need is this afternoon. But the Lord knows without us saying a word. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord knows what your need is, what my need is this afternoon without us saying a word. He knows how I feel every time I come into this pulpit and others. Our great need, and he knows everyone that comes into the house of God. And he knows where those that may be in affliction today, in hospital or in their homes, and those in much weakness, he knows what they need before they even ask or even think. That's a wonderful mercy, and he knows. And so often you have to come to this, oh Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest my inmost need. Thou knowest the need I have of thy appearing. And then we think of the great day of death and our departing. He knows just what the sinner needs and the swellings of Jordan. This promise, you see, go back to it being comprehensive. It'll carry the child of God right the way through their life. It'll carry them through the swellings of Jordan. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.